T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're going to talk some Packers. Let's bring in Paul.
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and gold analyst Paul Immig is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Paul Immig, our green and gold analyst, joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And Paul, it was interesting because I went back last night. I was listening to some of the comments from Aaron Rodgers and some of the guys in the locker room during the postgame interviews on Monday night. And one of the things that they brought up was, you know, getting away and figuring things out because everybody's going to be the, quote, prognosticating, end quote, of what's going to happen the rest of the season as they've got 4 out of the next 5 against very tough teams on the road. And my whole thought process was, well, what's going to make me think that they're going to win those ball games if I am going to do some prognosticating? Because what is it going to be, the slow start of the offense or the underthrown balls or the quarterback at times or the fact that they need to play with urgency just to get into a rhythm or the fact that there's some sniping back and forth at times or the fact that the defense gets shredded early and then figures out how to lock things down or the fact that special teams haven't been great? I mean, what would make me believe that they're going to go into LA or into New England or into Minnesota or even into Seattle for that matter and win ball games? Don't you have to feel kind of pessimistic right now?
The answer to your first question, how do you think that way? With blind hope. That's how you do it. That's what they've given you to this point. I mean, it's nice when when your team limps through the first 6 weeks and you're 3-2-1, you know that you have the basis for a team that should be good, right? Because the Packers have not played well. They really have not played mostly good football through these first 6 weeks. And yet, here they are, really just like percentage points out of the first place spot in their division. Really, aside from the Rams, there's not like that dominant team in the NFC in general. So, yeah, I mean, I don't, is it a matter of health? Is it a matter of just getting Cobb back and Allison back and defensively getting some of the full secondary healthy and giving the guys a rest? I mean, maybe, but, I think it's to a point where if you watch enough of what the Packers have put on the field, yeah, you do kind of have to have blind hope, blind optimism to say that this team is going to go to L.A. and beat the Rams. And, Mike McCarthy coming out of bye weeks often has some tricks up his sleeve. And if there's something that's going to benefit this team in terms of going against, it's crazy to say this, but, I mean, the Rams are clearly a superior football team of the Packers. I mean, who would have thought we'd be saying that 2 years ago? And then, of course, going to New England after that. Those two teams are clearly what they put on film the first 6 weeks. Those two teams are far superior to what the Packers are. But that doesn't mean the Packers can't win. It doesn't mean they can't fix the things that are wrong. I just don't know. I mean, Mike McCarthy talking yesterday about self-scout and, really digging deep on some of the things and being frustrated with special teams penalties. That, that's all great, but man, this is, in the Mike McCarthy career arc, this is, just like I think Monday's game was a pivotal game for this year's team, the 2018 Packers, what the Packers do in their 4 games coming out of the bye could very well tell you if the Packers are a serious NFC contender this year or if we are looking at coaching candidates for who's going to run this team 3 months from now. This is, Mike McCarthy's next week and a half, really, of bye week and then of prepping for the Rams is going to have a huge impact on his coaching future in Green Bay and whether or not this year's team, is a sleeping giant that's just ready to kind of turn things up or if they are the team they've showed so far, which is a very average, mediocre-type team.
Let me ask you this in the sense of with Aaron Rodgers talking about being able to kind of get past the prognostication. I know it's blind faith, but if I had to roll through this, I don't know out of the teams that they're going to face on the road Maybe they match up best against Seattle because Seattle doesn't pose a huge offensive threat. But they went toe-to-toe with the Vikings. Is there any reason to think that they can't go toe-to-toe with the Vikings on the road?
Oh, no, I give the Packers every chance in the world in that game. And, you know, sometimes the thing is, and I don't really subscribe to this theory, but I think there's been proof throughout the years with some of these Mike McCarthy teams that they sometimes play up to their competition and sometimes play down to their competition. So, you know, you're not only coming out of a bye, which Mike McCarthy has shown throughout the years, he can sometimes come back with some unique stuff, but maybe there is some magic dust for him to find, some piece of analytical information that's going to come out and be the difference maker. And it's not like Minnesota this year is what Minnesota was last year. They haven't put it all together yet either. So, I mean, again, you do sometimes, and this is true across sports, it's less true in football because there's so few games compared to MLB and NBA, but you do just sometimes play up to and down to your competition. Mike McCarthy's teams throughout the years have shown that. If you can't get up for a game against the 6-0 Rams on the road coming off a bye, for the difference between being 4-2-1 and 3-3-1, huge difference, right? Huge pivotal moment in terms of which way you're going to swing this season if you're the Packers. If you can't get up for this stretch of games coming up, you mentioned Seattle, Minnesota, New England, and the Los Angeles Rams, what games can you get up for? These are the games that are going to, you know, the Packers have really been relegated. There were so many times throughout the, you know, this Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy era where they are the game of the week. I mean, there was a stretch going back a few years where every week they were the game of the week. And now they've been, you know, fourth, fifth most important NFC game. And you can tell that based on, you know, the announcers that NBC or CBS or Fox assigns to these games, or Fox and CBS specifically. You know, this is now prime time. Rams, Patriots, division rival with the Vikings, a rematch with Seattle and all the history, recent history there. These are the games that, you know, if you don't show up for, what games are you going to show up for? But, again, I don't know what on film they've shown that would make you think they can turn around, but this is when the real, I hate to say it, because they did lose two games to teams they maybe shouldn't have lost to, but this is when the real competition starts, and we'll see if they are any better coming into it than they were before it.
Where can they get the biggest upgrade legitimately coming out of the bye?
How about playing Aaron Jones more? I mean, how about giving Aaron Jones the ball? There's sometimes these things, Bill, that I think get blown out of proportion that fans or, you know, media or whomever, national, local, whatever you want to say, who kind of look at like these small little moments and say, how comes this? And usually a coach, you know, knows reasons that why, and I understand all of that. But that is, I think that remains sort of the puzzling aspect of it. I think that would really help. And then I think defensively, Bill, I don't know if they have the horses to put together a consistent pass rush. And I just don't know if you can fix that during a Week 7 bye. Their secondary shows flashes. Their secondary, I think, has, especially in the young guys, if they are all out there together. I mean, Kevin King made a, you know, yeah, he had some poor plays this past Monday night again, but he flashed when he needed to. I mean, turnovers in the NFL are the deciding factor 8 times out of 10. It's like 80% of the time that an NFL team wins the game, it's because they won the turnover battle. Props to Kevin King for making that play. But the secondary, I think, can be as good or as mediocre or as whatever as it wants to be. I just don't know if the Packers have the pass rush. I don't know what, you know, and I mean that from the perspective of, because I guess this is a point of clarification, because I've kind of lightly debated this on Twitter a little bit. The Packers are getting some pass rush, okay? But they're getting it because Pettine is dialing things up for his corners and for his safeties and for the, you know, the non-traditional pass edge rushers, the non-Clay Matthews, the non-Nick Perrys, the non-Fackrells, the non-Reggie Gilberts. Speaking of Reggie Gilbert, he's taken a step back, too. I don't know where preseason Reggie Gilbert went. He's kind of fallen off. And meanwhile,
how many times have we seen that, though? I mean, we saw that Brad Jones was the ultimate preseason player to oppose to, you know, actually getting into regular season games.
Jayron Elliott.
Yep, Jayron Elliott, same thing.
Big flash in preseason. And meanwhile, Kyler Fackrell has actually put together a couple decent games in a row. Who'd have sunk it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know if they have the consistent presence on the edge for the defense to become, you know, the top 10, top 12 defense that you and I speculated was maybe possible. I just don't know if they have the guys for that. But again, maybe that's where, you know, that's where Mike Pettine makes his money, by dialing up the exotic stuff, by bringing his corners and finding different ways to get to the QB. I just wonder if you can do that against, a Bill Belichick Patriots team and a Sean McVay Rams team. And that'll be a huge, huge challenge for Mike Pettine and those defensive guys.
With defensively speaking, now you can talk about Mike Pettine. Can you, how much of an impact have you seen? Because we're talking about coaching all the time, and a coach comes in and dials things up. And how much of an impact has Mike Pettine been?
I think he's been a net positive so far. I mean, you're never going to know what it would have been for sure under Capers, or had they hired somebody else, and what if they had given the job to Joe Witt, or you don't know. But I think, Bill, I don't know. I don't have, like, numbers in front of me, and you can trust Pro Football Focus or go off other things. There cannot be too many teams with a worse edge-rushing pass group from your outside linebackers than the Packers. And if that thought process of mine, if that opinion of mine is true, that puts a lot of pressure on a defensive coordinator. And I think Mike Pettine, would have thought when he got this job that his most challenging part, because I think the defensive line of the Packers, super talented. Once the Packers picked up Jaire Alexander and Josh Jackson in the draft, and then they signed Tremont Williams, I like the secondary. I'm not sure how I feel about the safeties, I guess, so I should probably turn that smaller and not say the secondary. I should probably say I like that corner group. Not sure if I feel, in fact, I don't feel as strongly about the safety group with Clinton Dix and Bryce. Josh Jones still not getting on the field is a bit of a puzzle. But when you have a position group of obvious weakness, I think like Pettine does with his outside linebackers, you have to, that's where you make your name. That's where you make your money. And I honestly think if you look at some of the QB pressure percentages, the Packers are in the top 10, in that category. Pro Football Focus had a tweet and a chart the other day that showed that the Packers were actually getting pretty darn consistent QB pressure. It just wasn't coming from their outside linebackers. And I think that if there's something we've learned through six games about Pettine, it's that despite maybe that weakness at the outside linebacker edge rush group, he is getting it from other places. And I think that's definitely a credit to his first 6 weeks so far.
Paul, good stuff. We'll chat again later, okay?
Sounds good, Bill.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. There you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a few minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They'll treat you fair. They've been doing it a long, long time, 80-plus years. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.